Good afternoon. Welcome to a Thursday edition of Bill Allen's Facebook Class and Studies. Glad to have you joining along. As you likely know, we are in the Daily Bible in chronological order. That's what we're reading through this year. And these Tuesday and Thursday Facebook classes reflect a bit on some of the recent readings there. And I'm glad to have you joining along. This past Tuesday, we looked at the great lawgiver and leader, Moses, and talked about his last days and his call to the people to live obediently to the law of God, and that obedience would lead to blessings and disobedience would lead to punishment and curse. And today we're kind of turning that page a little bit. We're going to start with Moses, but only because of the last charge that he made not long before he died to the people and to Joshua. So hello to my friends, Cindy and Eric. Nice to have you joining along. I'll look forward to all of you joining in and appreciate the many viewers that we have each time. And I know that you'll be encouraged by this call to Joshua. And he gets it from several fronts, starting with Moses here. He also gets it straight from God. He gets it from the people. And God even gives the people the same charge. And it was a leadership training for Christ, LTC theme, several years ago. But the call is be strong and courageous. So welcome to my sister Tia Clark joining in. Glad to have you. And let's get right to it. Joshua is receiving this last call from Moses. And I'm going to read from Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31, the first 8 verses. Of course, obviously, before Moses climbs up Mount Nebo, never to come down. But before that, he gives this call to the people and to Joshua. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you, speaking to Moses, shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. And that's something great to remember as we transition from Moses to Joshua to the judges, that it's really God who is leading the people all along. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. Turn the page, Bill. Still in Deuteronomy 31, as the Lord said, the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. Those were the two kings under Moses' leadership that the people destroyed on the east side of the Jordan before crossing. Deuteronomy 31, verse 5, the Lord will deliver them to you, Moses says, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. We hear that passage related in different ways in the New Testament as well, but here we see Moses telling the people as he is ready to depart this world, the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, in the presence of all Israel, the same thing. Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. What a great call Moses gives to the people, be strong and courageous. And then specifically to Joshua, in the hearing, in the presence of the people, be strong and courageous. Skipping down to Deuteronomy 31, verse 23, it is the Lord who says the same thing to Joshua. The Lord gave this command to Joshua, son of Nun, be strong and courageous, for you will bring the Israelites into the land I promised them on oath, and I myself will be with you. So we already see a lot of things in common, the call, be strong and courageous, and the promise, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I will be with you. And that brings us to the book of Joshua, actually, to Joshua chapter 1. And as we kind of get into that, with Moses going up Mount Nebo and never coming down, the focus of leadership, F. Ligard Smith writes, now falls upon Joshua, who will lead the Israelites west across the Jordan River into Canaan, the land first promised to Abraham almost 700 years before the time of Joshua. Over the next 6 years, the Israelites will conquer the land and begin to occupy it. However, it will take many more years for the tribes to assume full control, and even then, many of the local inhabitants will never be driven out. And that becomes a thorn in the side of the people of God, the Israelites, that there were some that they did not drive out fully, and because of that, they were tempted, and God allowed that to happen because he was going to allow them to make the choice between the false gods of the Canaanites, the people of the land at the time, and the God of Israel. Again, we see God telling the people, telling Joshua, Moses telling Joshua, I will never leave you nor forsake you, says the Lord our God. Be strong and very courageous, God tells Joshua. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? God asks Joshua. And again, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. What a great, great charge that Joshua receives from Moses, from the people themselves, and from the Lord. It's just an incredible, incredible time of transition. And so they do that. In chapters 3 and 4, they are going to cross the Jordan River. But before they do that, Joshua secretly sends two spies into the promised land, across the river, into the first city that they will take, and that is the city of Jericho. And they say, go look over the land, look over the city, see what they say about how this is going to go. And it's really a lot like what Moses did when they first were escaped from Egypt. And that was send those 12 spies out. And the only two that came back and said, we can do this with the power of God, are Joshua and Caleb. And because of that, those are the only two that are now 40 years later still with the Israelites. And Joshua is their leader. So he sends two spies into Jericho, the city, and they find a prostitute by the name of Rahab, and she actually hides them. The king hears that they're there, and everyone is scared to death of the Israelites because they have heard what happened in Egypt. And so now this woman takes them in and protects them, and when the king sends some soldiers over to where her house is, and they ask her, send out those men that came from Joshua and the Israelites. And she kind of says, they went that away, when really they're hiding upstairs. And she sends the king's soldiers, her king's soldiers, her people, away. Then she goes up on the roof and tells the two spies this in Joshua 2. I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. And then she says this, when we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. I'm not sure that you would find a better confession of faith in the one true and living God than what we hear from this Canaanite pagan prostitute by the name of Rahab in Joshua chapter 2. The Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. And that's why this woman was willing to hide them. And now what she does then is she makes them promise that they will save her. And they come up with an agreement that the scarlet robe, when she lowers them from her window up on the wall, they are lowered by this scarlet rope, and they tell her, if you'll keep that hanging out your window when we come to take over this land, then we will save everyone that's in your house. But if they go out of this house, then their blood will be on their own selves. And so that is a wonderful, wonderful statement that they make. The spies go back to Joshua and they tell him this: the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. Great, just as Joshua and Caleb came back 40 years previously to tell Moses and the people, we can do this. These two spies do the same thing. They say, you know, the people are scared to death of us. God will certainly give us this city. And so God promises the people, and Joshua promises the people, we will cross over the Jordan and we will go and take over this land. The 2.5 tribes, remember the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, they leave their loved ones across on the east side of the Jordan, but they're going to cross over and fight with their brothers so that they can have the same land and they're on that side of the Jordan that those 2.5 tribes have on the other side. And so they're able to do that, and they're able to go along. And once again, God reminds them, be strong and courageous. And so now they're about to cross into the promised land from the Jordan River, but the Jordan River is at flood stage. And Joshua 3 tells this great story, Joshua 3 and 4. And what God tells Joshua to do is to have the priest take the Ark of the Covenant into the middle of the river. And it's so exciting the way this reads in Joshua 3 and 4. As soon as the first toe of the first priest hit the water backed up. It didn't part the way it did the Red Sea in Moses' day, but what happened is upstream, the water just blocked off and stopped. And so the priests were able to carry the Ark of the Covenant across, and they stopped in the middle. From there, all the people of Israel crossed over the Jordan River miraculously on dry ground. And when they got to the other side, God instructed Joshua to get a person from each of the 12 tribes and to have them go out into the middle of that dry riverbed and get a large stone for each tribe and to set it up as a tower and a reminder on the west side of the Jordan that this is what God has done for us. And that's exactly what they did. And then they began to have the priests bring across the Ark of the Covenant. And as soon as the last priest's last toe came out of the water, God released the water and it came surging back downstream again. And the people were able to see the great power that God still exhibits, only now, not through Moses, now through the leadership of Joshua. And so they set up those 12 stones and they now remember and saw that God will deliver us. He certainly is with us and will not forsake us. And so that day, Joshua 4 says, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him all the days of his life, just as they had stood in awe of Moses. And Joshua was up to the task. He was a strong leader the whole time. And it's a great, great story. So they cross the Jordan, and now the wandering comes to an end. They circumcise the men, and they name the city Gilgal because they renew that covenant, and they obey that rite of circumcision, which they had not done while they were in the wilderness. And so the men are circumcised. They observe the Passover, and the manna begins to cease because now they're in the promised land. Now they are not. They are still relying upon God, but in a different way, much like the way we are. Just as God provided manna in the desert and the wilderness for them, He will provide for them as they plant crops and raise livestock and do all the things they need now that they have entered the promised land and have found their home. And God still provides for us today in the same way. Well, as Joshua goes along in Joshua 5 and 6, he is met by apparently an angel. It described as a man, but it is a man who has his sword drawn, and he comes from the Lord, and he says, "I am here with a message for the command. I am the commander of the army of the Lord, and I am here with a message." And so Joshua had asked him, "Are you with us or against us?" And he says, "I am the commander of the army." So as Joshua is the leader, it is ultimately still God leading the people. And so this special heavenly visitor gives Joshua the battle plan, and it's a strange one. In Joshua, they have strong, high walls that are fortified, and they can't breach them. And so God gives them this message. Here's what you're to do. Get the priests, get the Ark of the Covenant, have some of the army go ahead of them, then the priests and the Ark of the Covenant and some of the army go behind them and march around the city one time for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, march around the city seven times. And after that seventh time, blow the trumpet and the walls will come a-tumbling down. And that's exactly what happens. The people of God, even though it's a strange, weird strategy, that's what they do. But they do it in faith. And it takes 7 days. And I'm sure that they wondered along the way, is this really going to work? Are we crazy for doing this? I'm sure the people in the city of Jericho thought, these guys are nuts. But it's because they trusted in the Lord. And no matter what, how crazy that message seemed to be, on the seventh day, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast after the seventh time around, Joshua commands the army in Joshua 6, "Shout, for the Lord your God has given you the city." And they take over the city. Everything is to be destroyed, and except for Rahab and her family that are in her home. And the two spies that were there that she hid go, and they get her and all her family, and she becomes a part of the people of Israel from that day on. In fact, the record in Joshua 6 even says she lives among the Israelites to this day. And so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. But there was a problem. There was a member of the Israelites, even though God had made it very clear, and Joshua had made it very clear, nothing was to be taken. Everything was to be given over to the Lord in sacrifice. A man by the name of Achan, A-C-H-A-N, took some of the special things, some of the devoted things, some of those things that God said, you're not to keep anything. This is a sacrifice to me. But he decided he wanted something. That desire, that covetousness took over. And he took them and he dug a hole and he hid them and buried them. And so the next town up is the city of Ai. It's a smaller town, not as fortified. Joshua says, hey, we don't need a whole lot. We don't need everybody to go this time. So he sends some of the soldiers there and they get it handed to them big time. And so Joshua and the people come back to the Lord and they fall down before the Lord. And Joshua says, what have you done? Why did you bring us out of Israel, out of Egypt, if you're just going to destroy us here? And the Lord said to Joshua in Joshua 7, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. And I love the way the old King James Version puts it. There's sin in the camp. And there was. There was. And Achan was the cause. And so God leads them to decipher who it is that is guilty before him. And Achan and his whole family are put to death. And there's a lot of killing in this part of the Bible. Get used to it. Because it's seen in Joshua as he leads them to battle after battle in the promised land. And it's certainly seen in the book of Judges as well. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but scripture does tell us that God was using his people to punish the ones who had gone away from the Creator and were worshiping and serving themselves and the gods that they built that were not gods at all. And so the Israelites are able to get that sin out of the camp. And now they still have to go and take Ai. How are they going to do that? Well, the battle plan this time is a little bit better for those of you who come from a more organized military background. He sets up two groups of soldiers. One group attacks the city and then begins to retreat when the city tries to, the soldiers of AI try to defeat them. And so the soldiers of AI think they have them on the run. And while they're led out of the city, the second group attacks the city and begins to burn it down. And so the soldiers from the city of AI are chasing one group, and then they turn around and they see smoke and they say, "Uh-oh, we better go back." Well, as soon as they decide they see that, the Israelites see it too, and now they're caught in the middle. And both groups of Israelite soldiers kill off all of the people of AI. And they're able to take some of those things along with them. And after that ambush that was so planned so perfectly, the people of AI are killed, and the Israelites are able to take over the second city, first Jericho, and now AI. As they continue along, they begin to divide the land among the tribes, and there's a lot of ways that you do that. There's probably in your study Bible, you probably have something like this. I'm going to try to show it. I'm not sure you'll be able to see it, but it is Israel as divided among the tribes. And so you see the Jordan River, the Dead Sea down there at the bottom, the Sea of Galilee up there at the top by the purple tribe, and then Manasseh right under it, and the Jordan River connecting them. And you see the tribes of Judah and Benjamin down towards the south, the tribes of Judah and Benjamin that will be faithful to King David in the area of Jerusalem and also Bethlehem, from whence Jesus would come. We get a little bit of a summary of that in the book of Joshua, chapters 13 through 21. It goes really fast, and it makes you feel like, wow, everything's gone great. Even Caleb receives his inheritance. Caleb is a member of the tribe of Judah, Joshua, a member of the tribe of Ephraim, and they each get their inheritance as well. Caleb's is kind of mountainous and difficult, and it's well protected, but Caleb says, "God has kept me alive. I'm in great shape." Even though it's 40 years plus after we went into the promised land to spy it out for Moses, he says, "I am ready. Give me this mountain. Give me this hill country," he says. And sure enough, Caleb gets it. And so now the Israelites are going to have to take over the whole land. We see it summarized there, but there's still lots of Canaanites that are there, lots of people that are going to have to be dealt with. And unfortunately, the tribes don't deal with all of them. And some of them are left, and they become a snare that causes the Israelites to stumble. And that's exactly what the book of Judges is going to be about. And that's going to be some hard reading because those guys, a lot of them, were not good guys. But at the same time, they were men and one woman that God chose to lead the people as they fought against their enemies and to bring them back to following the Lord, because that was the cycle of the book of Judges, and we'll talk about it in the next lesson or two. The people would be following God, and He would bless them, and then they would get comfortable, and they would fall into immorality and idolatry and acting unloving towards each other, and He would allow their enemies to overtake them, and they would be taken captive, and their cities destroyed, and then they would call out to God and forget in repentance. And he would send them a leader, a judge, a military leader in those regional areas to come and to deliver them. But that is for an upcoming lesson. For now, I want us, as we close today, to remember that call that God and Moses and the people all gave to Joshua, that God and Moses and Joshua gave to the people. Be strong and courageous. We fight a lot of battles in this world. We fight a lot of battles in this life. And so I call on you to be strong and courageous. And I call on you to remember the same promise that was given to Joshua and the Israelites of his day is the same promise that is given to us. God tells us, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always. I pray that you will always remember that, and that presence of God will lead you to be strong and courageous. God bless you, and I'll see you next week.